breakaway behind the norm. Jukes and scores. Back-to-back breakaways. Connor McDavid peering inside. Dishing. CeCe shoots and scores. 1-0 Edmonton in game 7.
Edmonton's home for breaking news on your favorite teams. This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers, the heavy hitters of injury law.
All right, several matinees in the NHL already. Finals. The Bruins win at home again, 3-2 over the Hurricanes in overtime. David Pastrnak got the game winner on a power play in the extra session. So the Bruins have won 12 straight home games to start the season. That's a new NHL record. The Canadiens got by the Blackhawks 3-2 in a shootout. Calgary is shut out 3-0 by the Washington Capitals. Toronto wins on the road 4-3 against Minnesota. Ottawa rolling over the Ducks 5-1, and a game that just ended a few minutes ago, Penguins knocking off the Flyers 4-1. Several games starting in the next few minutes and a couple games starting later tonight. Tomorrow morning here on 630 CHED, you can catch the Oilers visiting the New York Rangers. Face-off show at 9:30, and the puck will drop at 11. Also, the Edmonton Oil Kings in action tonight. They're visiting the Swift Current Broncos. Okay, so the Oilers, final game of a three-game road trip tomorrow against the Rangers. They are 0-2 on the trip so far. And they are making a change. Philip Broberg has been called up from the Bakersfield Condors. Marcus Niemelainen, another young defenseman, has been sent down. Here's head coach Jay Woodcroft.
Well, for Marcus Niemelainen, he's an important part of our future on the D in our organization. We want to get him up and running with playing a bunch of minutes down in the American Hockey League, the same way we got Philip Broberg up and running, playing a lot of minutes down in the American Hockey League, in the hopes that the more minutes for him leads to increased confidence. Marcus is a big, hard, heavy D-man that helps us out. Philip is somebody who moves pucks well, defends with his legs, is also a big body, and we're excited about him as being a big part of the future of our organization.
Well, definitely they hope Broberg is part of the future, and really they need him to be part of the present with the way things have been going for the Oilers so far this season, with a very mediocre record of 10-10, including 3-7 in their past 10 games. Broberg showed some promise last season, got into 23 games in the regular season, had 3 points, played in one playoff game. Out of training camp this year, I don't think there's much doubt that he didn't quite have the training camp that he wanted. Went down to the Bakersfield Condors. Now, he's only played 7 games down there with 2 goals and 2 assists for 4 points, because he's had some injury issues, one of which happened off ice. You probably remember the story about that one. Colin Chalk told it on Bob's show a couple of weeks ago, that Broberg accidentally cut his hand with a kitchen knife while working in the kitchen. But he is back and feeling better. And Woodcroft comments on how Broberg can maybe change the dynamic of the decor.
We were 7-3 in the first 10, 3-7 in the last 10. I think when you haven't got the results that you want, you look at every aspect of your operation. And for us, the good news is that we got a lot of good young players. What I like about Philip is that he can also play on the right side. He's not just a D-man who can only play on the left side. He can play on the right side. I think Philip came up last year, acquitted himself well, got into one playoff game. And, you know, he helped our team win. So quite aware of what his capabilities are. He didn't have the strongest camp that he wanted to have, but he went down and worked at his game. He played a ton of minutes, and we're excited about his opportunity tomorrow.
All right, so Broberg, we'll see if they go with 7D tomorrow, but I would think Broberg will either play with Tyson Barrie, or maybe if there's some sort of a rotation there if Ryan Murray is active as well. But that's the situation with Broberg being called up, who had this to say about his season so far.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be back playing again and being healthy. And like I said, I think I had a good stretch in the AHL now for a good couple of games, and I feel good in playing for him.
All right. So Broberg, I mean, look, former first-round pick. The Oilers took him 8th overall in 2019, has showed some promise at times. As we know, when Woodcroft mentioned, he didn't really grab it in training camp. But the question is he going to play better than Markus Niemelainen, and can he play better than Ryan Murray? And will that upgrade the Oilers' D-core? I'm not going to put it all on a player of this age and this experience level to completely turn around the team, but I've talked a lot about the Oilers needing to be, well, maybe 5% better, 10% better, 20% better in some areas. So, you know, if he makes the team 3-5% better, maybe that's going to help them in the long haul and overall. But he is an exciting prospect for the Oilers, and definitely somebody they want to be part of their future. And Woodcroft was asked, what's your message to Broberg going into this game?
The good news for Dave Manson and myself is that we coached him in the American League. So we have an understanding of what his capabilities were at that level last year, where he was playing at a very high level the first half of the season in the American Hockey League. We've also coached him up in the National Hockey League. I think he's past the point of being overawed by the experience of just being in the NHL. I think he's come up with the mindset to be a contributing factor on a winning team. We don't want him to be anything but himself. He has certain strengths and certain gifts. We want him playing towards those gifts. You mentioned a couple. His puck movement, I would say his legs get him out of trouble. I think he's worked hard on his defending skills, and I just think he'll help us play a faster game. And you know, for us, that's the benefit of having a really good player in the American Hockey League like Philip. And we're giving him a try here.
All right, so here if we're going to sum this up very generally and very concisely, you get Broberg into the lineup, who can skate better than Niemelainen and who can move the puck better than Niemelainen, and you lose Niemelainen's physicality. Now, you know, I think Niemelainen has played pretty well given his expectations. I mean, his puck skills are not elite. I thought he did fine. He was clearly one of the most likely Oilers to deliver a big hit or two in any given game. So we'll see how Broberg comes in and if this changes the dynamic of the D-core like Woodcroft was talking about, and if it makes them better as a whole. I will tell you this. I think there's a bit of a consensus around the NHL, and certainly from those of us who have watched every game and the others who have played, that they might once again be wearing that label that they've worn off and on, mostly on for several years, is that they're a little too easy to play against. There's not enough meanness on the team. There's not enough bite on the team. Markus Niemelainen had that. So you send Niemelainen down. Evander Kane is out of action for an extended period of time. So you're losing a little bit of that jam, a little bit of that, like, I might pound you through the glass into the fourth row. Now, having said that, you know, Broberg's ceiling and expectations for the team a lot higher than Niemelainen. If he could transition the puck, because that's also been another problem for the Oilers, is just making crisp, smart passes to get out of their own end, then maybe it helps. But I do think without Niemelainen, you lose something. You know, Broberg should be and likely will be, medium to long term, a better player than Markus Niemelainen. But Niemelainen does have a dimension, and it was a dimension that I think was important to this team because they aren't the most aggressive, they aren't the most assertive team most of the time. So anyway, Broberg's in tomorrow, Niemelainen sent down to the Bakersfield Condors. And of course, the ongoing struggle for the Oilers has been that lack of consistency, that lack of details in game. We've talked about it a lot. Shorthanded too much, not always starting games very well, too many penalties some nights, goaltending, you know, when you look at Campbell, up and down, turnovers, sturdiness in front of your own goal, things like that. Those are kind of the themes for me that have been plaguing the Oilers this season. And Woodcroft was asked today after the practice, which, by the way, was at the Devils rink because of the Knicks being at MSG today. Woodcroft was asked what being more consistent looks like.
I think there's areas of the game that you want to see show up in your team game night in, night out. For me, I wish I could say that there's one specific thing that needs to get cleaned up. You know, for a while, our penalty kill took on water for a little bit. It seems to be headed in the right direction. You know, our net play at different occasions has left something to be desired. There's been games where we've struggled to score at 5-on-5. It's been small parts of our game that can improve. We've yet to do that for a long enough period. 7-3 to start the season was nice, but in terms of the details that go along with the game, in order to have sustainable success, we're not there yet. We weren't there after 10 games. We're not there after 20 games. But the good news is we get an opportunity tomorrow to go against a very good hockey club, another Final Four playoff team from last year, and we get to measure ourselves against a real good team on the road here. I think it's a good opportunity. I think our guys are up to the task, and we're determined for the result.
Yeah, Woodcroft said they weren't there after 10 games. They weren't there after 20. Now, look, the season, most coaches will put it this way, it's a process going throughout the season. But I would suggest that the Oilers are not as far along in the process after 20 games, a quarter of the season, as you would like them to be. Now, look, they are in a kind of fairly large patch of teams that have 9, 10, 11 wins. The Oilers have won 10 out of 20 games. The Rangers have won 10 out of 21. They have more points than the Oilers because they've had a few overtime losses along the way. I mean, Calgary lost again today. They're only a game above 500. So as I've been talking about, it's not a disaster where the Oilers are. They're not so far down that it's going to take a miracle to climb into a playoff spot. But at some point, they're going to have to get it going. You can look at it this way. They have 20 points after 20 games. If you can get to 95 points, you should be in the playoffs. Like most years, 90. There's a couple teams that got to 96 and didn't get in. You get to the mid-90s, you should be at least a wild card team. So that means the Oilers have to get 75 points in 62 games. So, I mean, that's 13 games over 500 over the final 62 games. So those wins got to start getting banked somewhere. If you get to 90 points, okay, yeah, you might have a chance. You might have a chance depending on the strength of the division and the conference. So, you know, getting to 90, you got to be 8 games over 500 in 62 games. So they got to start coming. They got to start coming sooner rather than later, because it would be nice to build up a little bit of a cushion as well. But there we go. That's the big storyline for the Oilers tomorrow. Broberg is up and going to play. Marcus Niemelainen has been sent down. Hope you've had a great Friday. Hope your weekend is off to a good start. If you want to get in touch, 780-496-0063 is the number by which to do it. It's the hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. You can also follow me on Twitter at Reid Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. And you can email the show, insidesports@630ched.com. Now, speaking of the Rangers, you're going to get the story from Dave Maloney coming up between 6:30 and 7. We got a Grey Cup champion on the show later. What was it like to play in that incredible game in that fourth quarter? Edmontonian Justin Lawrence from the Toronto Argos. And, of course, more on the Canadian national men's soccer team. It is already a can't lose on Sunday against Croatia. If Canada loses that game, they're eliminated. They would have another game to play, but they couldn't advance to the second round. So we'll dive into that as we go along. And at some point tonight on the show, we're going to be giving away a Team Canada soccer jersey. And you know I love doing this because I'm going to make you answer a trivia question live on the air. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Also want to remind you, 630 Ched teaming up with Air Canada and the Oilers for this great contest. We're going to send a listener and three friends, or as I always say, enemies if you like, to Las Vegas to cheer on the Oilers. You get round-trip airfare with Air Canada, two nights accommodation, and four tickets to the Oilers against Vegas on January 14th. So you want to go to the contest page on 630ched.com and tell us how you would cheer on the Oilers in Vegas. That is the Air Canada fan flight experience. Tyson Berry in conversation with Mooner when we get back to Inside Sports.
Subscribe to the Inside Sports Podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. This is 630 Chad Inside Sports.
That's right. You subscribe to the podcast, you get an Inside Sports canned ham delivered to your door. We now have a special offer. It's the Inside Sports Platinum Edition canned ham. Did you know that, Derek?
I didn't know there was a platinum edition.
Yeah, we know got a platinum edition.
How does it differ from the regular one?
Well, there's actually platinum baked into the ham.
Well, that's a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a choice. We could either throw them out because they were contaminated, or we could give them out as platinum edition canned hams.
Well, hey, sign me up.
Yeah, well, hey, we're always thinking about the customer, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Oil Kings underway in Swift Current. No score, about 7 minutes in. I was mentioning the World Cup. Here are the scores today in case you missed them. United States and England, I watched most of this game. They played to a 0-0 draw. Ecuador and the Netherlands played to a 1-1 tie. Senegal knocked off Qatar 3-1, so Qatar is not able to advance. They do have one more match, but they can't move on. And Iran beat Wales 2-0. I was watching also, Derek, I saw the end of the Ecuador-Netherlands game, and it was 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
And an Ecuadorian player, it didn't look like he was, because it looked like he was pursuing the player with the ball, and he went down, and he wasn't getting up. And Netherlands kept passing the ball around and eventually tried a cross, and the goalie stopped it, and then the ref stopped the play. Often the etiquette in soccer is if you're the attacking team and a player goes down on the other team, you kick the ball out of bounds so he can get attended to. And then, so for the example here is, if it would have happened this way, Netherlands kicks the ball out of bounds on purpose.
Right.
The player gets attention, and then Ecuador would throw it in and kick it back to Netherlands so that, because they had possession, so they could resume their attack. But they just kept going, and fans started booing. But I heard the commentators say that the referee is under no obligation to stop the game unless it's a head injury. And I'm thinking, like, okay, this guy got hurt making a defensive play. You know, it wasn't like he got knocked down that I could tell by a player from the Netherlands. So I'm like, tie game, 3 minutes left? I don't know. Keep attacking.
Yeah,
absolutely. I know what the etiquette is. Maybe I'm a bit of a bad boy, but I don't know.
That's kind of a tough call, really. You know, do you go with the ref? Do you? I don't know. Is there an easy answer for that one? I'm not sure.
Because the refs don't. Oh, like, it's not automatic that the referees stop the game for an injury. So they kind of let the players do it, right? Well, okay, we'll kick it out of bounds.
Yeah.
And then the guys can come on. But anyway, definitely heard. It sounded like the fans weren't happy about it, and I think some of the Ecuadorian players weren't happy about it. But
eventually,
he got stretchered off, so it must have been some. I didn't watch it after the game, but it must have been some kind of calf or thigh issue or something like that. But anyway. That game ended in a 1-1 draw. All right, Oilers, like I said, practicing at the Devils rink today to prepare to face the Rangers tomorrow. Our play-by-play guy, Cam Moon, talked to defenseman Tyson Barrie.
Tyson, first, let's go back to the game against the Islanders. So when you look back at that game, lots of shots on net, lots of opportunity. How'd you see it from the Oilers' point of view?
Yeah, you know, we had our chances. Their goalie played well. Obviously, we give up a shorty, and then we give up a PK goal, and that kind of turns the game, and we're chasing it again. I think we're in a point now where, you know, we don't want to continue to chase games. We got to get out in front of it and play with the lead.
And you were able to, you know, have a really good game against that against the Vegas Golden Knights. When you look back to that one, what did you see in that game that you'd like to see night in, night out?
I thought our forecheck was good, our tracks, our gaps. You know, no, there's no secret sauce to it. I think, you know, it's probably easy for you guys to see when we're playing well or when we're not. And some nights you play well and it doesn't go your way. You get a bounce, you run into a hot goalie, that kind of thing. But the most important thing is to just play that game consistently.
You got an opportunity against the Rangers, finish off the road trip with a victory. How important will that be, you know, for the team? Just for the mental well-being.
Morale.
Yeah, the morale, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. How important would that be?
It's nice to finish off a trip with a win, and hasn't gone. You know, you look at this trip, and in theory, you want to go 2-1, and hasn't gone our way. So we definitely want to, you know, try to salvage a little bit of this trip.
For you, it looks like things have gone fairly well for you personally. What has it been in your game that you've liked so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, the last few games, I expect a little more out of myself, but I'm just trying to help this team win and play solid D and move the puck up, get our big guns in good positions to make their plays. And I've been in the league a long time now. I'm starting to figure things out a little bit. So there's just a few adjustments here and there, and every night, and you're just kind of building your game towards being as good as it can be.
Do any of the younger D lean on you a little bit for that guidance?
You'd have to ask them. I think I like to keep it pretty loose, and I chat. I'm always chatting, so I'll let the coaches do the coaching. I'm just there to be just an ear.
Okay, well, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that's defenseman Tyson Barrie talking to Cam Moon, who has the play-by-play tomorrow. Barrie, I would say the defenseman who's been playing the closest to his potential so far this season. 9:30 a.m. face-off show, puck drop at 11. Oilers and Rangers. How are the Rangers looking, and why did they just trade away Ryan Reeves? Pretty popular and effective player. Dave Maloney dives in coming up.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.